Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. This season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix, May 16th. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.
Welcome to the Laverne Cox Show, a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Laverne Cox Show. My name is Laverne Cox. I started thrift store shopping when I was in middle school. I remember I used to wear lab coats. It was probably a mess, but it was a way to express myself creatively. And thrifting and vintage shopping was something I did through high school, college, and after college because it was affordable. And then when I got the job of being red carpet host for E! In 2021, I was like, oh, I have to step up my fashion pussy. To paraphrase T.S. Madison and also Nicki Minaj, to step my pussy up. And I did that in relationship to my stylist. And we were like trying to really like just up the ante in terms of fashion. But also in 2019, well before I was a red carpet host, I started collecting vintage Thierry Mugler. So obsessed with Mugler since I saw the Too Funky video in 1992. If you don't know the Too Funky video, go to YouTube and watch it. But Manfred Thierry Mugler, the late Thierry Mugler, who passed away just a few years ago, directed that video. It's a George Michael song. And all the fashions in the video are Mugler. And the cowboy look that Connie Fleming wears is from spring 1992, Le Cowboy. Anyway, when I became red carpet host, my collective went through the roof. I started like collecting more and shopping more. I guess since I've been a public figure, a lot of like what I've worn, I've gone through my stylist, like for red carpets, for interviews and stuff. And I've shopped for clothes, but not a lot. So since 2021, I've been really interested in like expanding my own personal wardrobe and having that, like, I guess figuring out at this stage of my life what my fashion vision is separate from my incredible stylist, right? And so much of that has been about delving into the archives of Thierry Mugler, the archives of John Galliano, his own line, and as well as what he did for Dior and for Givenchy, Alexander McQueen, what he did during his lifetime, and some of the pieces that in collections that Sarah Burden has done since McQueen has passed away, Comme des Garçons, and Issey Miyake. Those are the main designers I've been kind of interested in over the past several years. And I think what many of them have in common is all of them have avant-garde tendencies. Not all of their work is avant-garde, but there are moments of sort of being avant-garde that I think Galliano and McQueen certainly have, that Mugler certainly has, and very clearly Issey Miyake and Comme des Garçons are more sort of known for being a little more avant-garde. And the pieces, I don't have a lot of Miyake, but a lot of the Miyake pieces I do have are pieces that Grace Jones has worn. I just bought a piece at auction from the late 90s that Grace Jones wore, and there's a couple of pieces that Grace wore back in the day. There's actually, I'm really excited about this Jean-Paul Gaultier sort of pick that I found that I saw Grace wear in a photo. Literally, I have the whole look now. I have this hooded Issey Miyake, you know, pleated two-piece, and then I have the pick that Grace wore. So maybe for Halloween, I'll be Grace Jones again. I've done Grace for Halloween before, living for that. And Comme des Garçons, I love that. Comme des Garçons and Mugler, those designers, particularly the structural, the architectural aspects of the design, really excite me. I've always been into very structured clothes. And part of the reason I love Mugler are the shapes and the way that Mugler's clothes sort of structure the body, right? That this sort of cinched waist Mugler is known for. But like just the big broad shoulders or the big hips and just these beautiful structures and architectural designs that just accentuate the body in this really beautiful way. And some of the designs are very sort of hyper feminine. It's really interesting reading reviews of Mugler's work from the 80s. He was controversial. The shows were controversial. The clothes were controversial. I remember there was a critic who said, I don't think Mugler likes women very much. This is in the 80s, late 80s. And, you know, there's a very kind of, Mugler called this woman very empowered. The Mugler woman, in his eyes, was a very empowered woman. But he was incorporating things like latex and a lot of corsets and the high heels. You know, Mugler's woman is very sexy. And a lot of people found this offensive at the time or not sort of as high fashion as they would have liked it to be. But I mean, his suits, I mean, I came to Mugler sort of really through the Too Funky video, but my obsession with him really happened with a structured suit. I love and I'm obsessed with the way Manfred Terry Mugler cut a suit. I have so many blazers from Mugler that are just, that I'm obsessed with, like the workmanship and the seaming and just the way he constructs a jacket is just so utterly and completely exciting to me. It's like I don't collect art, but I collect vintage clothes. And there's something about vintage too, and like certain time periods. And there was something so exciting about Galliano in the 90s and in the 2000s as well. What Galliano did for Dior in the 2000s was just so groundbreaking and exciting. And I'm obsessed, but I'm also really obsessed with 1990s Galliano as well. I own now a number of pieces of Galliano's from the late 90s. I have a few pieces from, he was at Givenchy for a year, and I have a couple of blazers from that collection that he did two collections for Givenchy before he was moved over to Dior. And so it just feels lovely to have these pieces that feel kind of historic and part of fashion history and art history, where sort of art and fashion meet, I find also really exciting. And I think all of these designers sort of encompass and encapsulate like the spaces where art and fashion meet. If you look at these beautiful pieces by Comme des Garçons that are just full on art. And it's wearable art, though. It's art that you can sort of, you know, put on your back. I have this beautiful dress from Comme des Garçons' Blood and Roses collection from, I think it's 2013. Beautiful red dress. And this, the structure of it and how it's able to sit on the body and away from the body and the asymmetry of it is just so dope, and it's so cool, and it's just like, it's just the way it's able to like sort of exist in the world, like it's just so it's so exciting to me. And it's been one of these things where I like have to, you know, sort of be critical and like, you know, be careful about my spending, because like some, you know, rare vintage gets, it can get really pricey, so I have to be careful. I don't want to like go into debt because I'm buying fashion, but I don't have children, so my vintage is this, like my kids, it's a college fund. I'm going to the school of like vintage fashion. It's just fun to get to wear some of these pieces. The music video that I just released, Summertime, a Trip Opera, are all pieces from my personal vintage collection. There are two pieces from Mugler that I wear in the video, one from his 1995 20th anniversary collection, another one from around 1992. It was a Best of Mugler show, and Lady Miss Keir wore this bustier. I don't know if that bustier existed before that show, but I do know that it was worn by Lady Miss Keir. I have documentation. It's cool. And it's also fun when I love a piece and I don't know what collection it's from. And so then I'm like researching, you know, I'm on Pinterest, I'm on the internet, I'm reading articles, I'm, you know, finding research, or people send me things and then I figure out what collection it's from. It's like really exciting. I did a video for YouTube and there was a particular jacket. I thought it was from his Buick Winter collection, which is a collection that was inspired by cars that Mr. Mugler did. And I thought because of the hardware was from that collection. And then I was like just on YouTube looking at a show and I was like, oh my God, that's my jacket, you know? And that's happened a number of times. Like, it's one of those, I'll just, if I'm working and I'm feeling really stressed, I'll like open Pinterest and start looking at Black ads from like the 70s or 80s, Mugler ads from the 70s or 80s. And like, I'll see like a piece that I've owned for years and I like didn't have documentation of it, but like I'll see it in an ad. And I'm like, oh my God, cool. And those things are really cool for me. And there's just, it's interesting, certain collections that I gravitate towards. I was watching his fall 1993 collection on YouTube and I was like, oh my God, I have that jacket. Oh my God, I have that dress. Oh my God, I have this. And there's so many pieces from that collection. I think maybe there'll be a video where I just do like, I have a lot of pieces from fall 1993. I have a lot of pieces from fall 1998. I actually have a number of pieces from his 20th anniversary collection. I'm really interested in 70s Mugler too. I found this beautiful dress that's like, it's a LeMay dress. We're altering it right now. It's almost done. And it's from his 1979 collection. It's his brown label. And it's just so delicate. And it's so just to like, own pieces that are that old and that sort of seminal in his development as a designer. And there is a beautiful blazer that I found through this retailer on Etsy of all places. And it's in impeccable condition. It's brown label. So it was probably 1978, 79. And there are this French seaming that appears a lot in his 1988 She Devil collection. But like he was experimenting with these structural elements in blazers in the late 70s and really perfected them and took them to the next level by the late 80s. And that's something really exciting for me as just a student of Mugler and a fan and a collector to see these early iterations of these design elements that like would really be realized and taken to the extreme later in these really beautiful, amazing ways. So exciting. So exciting. This is a good time to take a little break.
Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of our favorite Netflix series, Bridgerton. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? And meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. And I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix May 16th. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.
Alrighty, we're back. Also, the process of altering as well has been really interesting. My tailor, Morgan Foote, who I found through my stylist, Christina Bacelli, she really created the monster. For years, I was online and I didn't buy things because it wouldn't fit. And Morgan was like, well, I have a client who buys something in any size and then I alter it and we make it fit. And I was like, really? We can do that. That can be done. So then I started like buying things in crazy sizes that didn't fit. And then we have had to do major surgery on things. And sometimes there's too much surgery that's required. So they just don't fall properly on my body after all the work. So I'm making different decisions unless it's really rare. And like, I probably will never see it again. There's a rare suit from 1994 that I found for so cheap on the RealReal. And I was just like, I had to get it. And it's tiny. It's like a 36. And Morgan's working on it now. And it is indeed major surgery. But it's like, I'm upset. I've been obsessed with this suit forever. And now I have it. And we're working on it. And it just makes me really excited. And actually, in one of my diaries earlier, I mentioned that I love seam ripping. So... So at one point, Morgan gave me a seam ripper and like, I love seam ripping. And what has been so wonderful for me personally about seam ripping some of the Mugler jackets. There's one specifically that it's a jacket that opens the 20th anniversary collection fall 1995 that I wore to the opening of the Mugler retrospective at Brooklyn Museum. And I saw that jacket on Etsy from this Japanese retailer, and it was like equivalent to like a 36 or even a 34. Tiny. But I had never seen a jacket before. I didn't think I'd ever see it again. And so, and it was expensive, but I bought it and I was like, Morgan, help. But before I gave it to Morgan, I seam ripped it myself. And like, sometimes I've gotten better at seam ripping. At the beginning, I would open the wrong seams I've gotten better. And then, but the intricacies of that jacket blew me away and scared me when I opened it up. There was just all these little pieces that Mr. Mugler cut and put together to create the structure of this jacket. And when you pull it apart and seam rip it, it's like, oh my God, this is like, how do you even think to do this? You know, you really get into the genius of the cut when you take it apart. And so, yeah, it's been super, super exciting, fun stuff. Yeah, I like some of them like, Laverne, you're weird, but I'm not judging it. But there's certain jackets I would never touch. There's a jacket that was in my Mugler video that Kate Moss wore in the 20th anniversary collection. It's like a gold silk jacket. The nature of the fabric was so delicate, there was no way I was going to seam rip that myself. There are certain pieces I absolutely would never, ever touch that Morgan absolutely has to be the one to take it apart. Sometimes, you know, like I'll shorten sleeves on things, and so that's just completely changing the design. But then a lot of what we do when we alter, like we add hip pads or we exaggerate the shape to try to sort of, you know, get what a dear friend of mine worked on the retrospective that Mr. Mugler's work that was at the Brooklyn Museum. They stuffed paper apparently in some of the blazers to, you know, exaggerate the hips or exaggerate the shoulders and all those beautiful shapes that Mr. Mugler did. Like, and so when you buy the pieces, they might not have that same shape. A lot of them do. A lot of them are constructed in such a way where they just, the peplum stands out in just this incredible, awesome way. But then we'll add little things to like really honor the shape that you see on the runway for the piece. And then honor my body. Like I have a long torso and I'm really tall. So most of the waist of Mugler jackets don't hit my waist. They're a little bit higher. So we have to adjust for that. So making things fit for your body is, I think, so important. Trying to, especially if you alter things that are like sort of historic pieces, you want to be true to them and not alter them too much because there's resale value and stuff that I do think about, you know, I'm like, if I sell this and it's been altered too much, you know, it changes the value of it. They have, I guess, become investments. The many pieces that I started collecting before Mr. Mugler passed away, I got for so cheap, and I'm seeing them on the secondary market for like 3 or 4 times what I paid for them. And I've had such a good time on the internet lately trying to negotiate prices down. I just negotiated this beautiful suit from the Buick Winter collection, one of my favorite collections, fall 1989. It was okay. It was listed for like $4,200, and I like put in a bid for like, I like made an offer of like $1,000, and then they countered with like, they countered it $2,000, when I was like, oh my God, that's wow. I didn't expect that. And then I countered it $1,500, and then it took them a while to reply. And I was like, oh, they're insulted. They accepted it. They accepted it, girl. I'm like, oh my God, it worked. So I love finding a really good deal. And like, I've found pieces that I think are insane and incredible for like dirt cheap from like collections that I think are seminal. And then there's some pieces that are clearly iconic that have been in exhibits that are just going to be more expensive. And yeah, so I'm at this point, because I have so much Mugler, I'm trying to be very curated in my purchases and very like, is this iconic? Have I wanted this for a really long time? There's a suit that's coming today from his fall 1990 collection. It's like cabaret collection. And it's a piece that I never thought I would own. And I literally saw it online the other day and I was just like, what the F, and it was like really reasonably priced, and I obviously snapped it up. It's a 42 in Mugler. So we'll see. It's coming today. We'll see if it fits. Hopefully, we don't have to do too much surgery. 40 and 42, like, it's close. So that was like a steal. That was one of those moments of like, holy crap, this is iconic and I own it. I have a number of pieces like that of Mugler's now that feel iconic to me personally. I don't know if anyone else would feel that way. And it's really about what brings you joy when it comes to collecting, to vintage, like, whatever it is you may collect, it's like, does it put a smile on my face? And these pieces, you know, I'll just like hang them up and look at them, you know, put them on a dress form and just look at them, or put them on and just twirl around my apartment and play dress up for myself. At the end of the day, I'm buying these pieces so I can wear them. And it's just like, it's just really awesome that like I get to own some of these pieces that I've been obsessed with for 30 years, and now they're in my closet or they're in storage. A lot of them are in storage. So that stuff brings me joy. The research brings me joy. The old-fashioned shows that are so theatrical bring me joy. And just feeling like a part of that in that particular time period in fashion, something that feels historic. The fact that there are pieces, I have pieces from like the late 70s that are in pristine condition that were so well made that obviously the people who owned them took really good care of them. But like, they're constructed in such a way that they've just, you know, that they're timeless. Some pieces are probably arguably dated, and I don't care because I love them. There's some pieces from his fall, these quilted jackets that my brother thinks are so dated, and I don't care. I just think they're fucking fabulous. So it's just, you know, it's wearable art, it's art history, it's fashion history, and it's just beautiful things to have in my life. So yeah, if you can surround yourself with beauty in your life, I think that is an incredible thing to do for yourself. And, you know, it doesn't have to be expensive. It's just something that like puts a smile on your face that you can look at every day. That's really what it's all about. So what else is true for me today in the realm of art meeting fashion? What else is true is that I just feel like so empowered. I've grown so much in terms of my fashion, but I think like what has been so beautiful about collecting vintage and really like building out a collection is that like my own sense of style has like evolved in a way where I just feel like more myself in terms of what I wear and what I choose to wear, particularly when I style myself. Like I'm like, this is just me. And so it's just really exciting to be evolving at this stage of life, you know, having a point of view that's like grounded in like history, and where fashion meets art feels so me, feels so authentic. Yeah. And in the spirit of Andre Leon Talley, he began his career working for Deanna Vreeland at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, putting together fashion exhibits. And he ended his career doing fashion exhibits of various kinds in Dallas and at Spana College of Art and Design, etc. And so there is something so exciting to me about seeing fashion in the context of a museum. And what makes it art? You know, is there something about the structure? Is there something about the materiality? Is there something about the cut? What elevates it to that space of like wearable art? That's a great topic for conversation. What do you think? Let me know. Thank you so much for listening to the Laverne Cox Show. Please like, subscribe, and tell everybody you know about our little podcast. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter /X at Laverne Cox. And you can find me on Facebook at Laverne Cox For Real. Until next time, stay in the love. I could have kept going. The Laverne Cox Show is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Summon your anticipation for an all-new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. This season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix May 16th. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop starting May 2nd.